Revelation chapter 22, and we'd like to look at verse 5 tonight, verse 5, but I'd like to read verses 1 through 5 and spend our time on that passage of Scripture. I do want to say before I begin this reading, though, that this whole book is about Him. And every book in the Bible, every letter in the Bible, many of them were written as letters. Every letter, every book in the Bible is about Him. And the greatest matter that we face in our life today, yesterday, and tomorrow is, what do I think of Him? Not what do I think of doctrine, not what church I belong to, but what do I think of Him? What do you think of Him? That's what we'll be asked. What think ye of Christ? He is God's Son. And this book is the revelation or the unveiling of God's Son in His majesty, in His way, in His truth, in His life, in His glory. Since there is a church, it's His church. It's not a... It's His church. His church. His peace, His faith. It's all His. And this is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He calls His people, as He does in this book, He will not take no for an answer. Now, He'll take a no from anybody else. But His people, He will not take a no from. He will work effectually. And He converts us, changes us, changes our mind about Him. All right, this 22nd chapter, verse 1, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. I have to ask my question, question as I come to that verse 5. And there shall be no night there. Where is there? I want to ask myself the question, where is there? Because that's what we're talking about here. This whole place where God is, this whole place where His throne is, this whole place where His river of water of life is, clear as crystal, where His servants serve Him. Where is there? Well, just back up with me to chapter 21 and verses 1 and 2, and it tells us here, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, this is present and this is future. These events are taking place as God saves His people and makes up His church. He is calling them into His assembly, and they are part of the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. It's ongoing. Now, as we've mentioned a number of times, we see through a glass darkly. We don't see all of it, but we are blessed to see some of it. God has given us eyes to see some of it. The new heavens and the new earth, the church of the living God, and we really understand better what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon Christ I'll build my church. He is the rock that the assembly of the saints is built on. Upon this church, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's a promise. That's God's promise to his people. There will always be, in every generation, on the earth, somewhere, people that hear the gospel because there is a preacher that preaches the gospel somewhere. Now, it won't be in every place all at the same time. I don't think that's happening now. It doesn't necessarily need to happen now. But it will be in every place where his people are. That will be happening right now. And someone will hear the gospel because someone is preaching the gospel. And it will be contained in these words, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be contained in a box. It will not be contained by politics. It will be only in the hands of God and dispensed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the glory of God and for the glory of his church, it will go forth. He also tells us, as we think about where there is, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. Would you turn there with me? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. As we look to this, we see where there is. It's that holy city. It's New Jerusalem. It's a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and that's now, and yet it's future. God gives his people his blessing now. He gives them forgiveness of sin. He gives them open eyes to see him. And here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19, the scriptures share this. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Anything about God is contained in Christ Jesus. That's why it's the greatest matter we face is not who's going to win the next election, not where will we be tomorrow, not how our finances will be yesterday, but what think we of Christ. That's it. That's the most important matter we face today. What think ye of Christ? And then, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 22, we read here that the Lord Jesus Christ, with regard to his assembly, to his saints, to the church, as we know it as, that's what it's called in the scripture, it's the word that was used, an assembly of saints that meet at the feet of the Lord Jesus, out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. It shares with us here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. This is the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head of the body. He's the head of the church. So where there is where Christ is. That's this new heaven, new earth. That's where this church is. That's where New Jerusalem is. It's Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we find there that there will be, going back to the book of Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, and there shall be no night there. Now that's a wonderful statement about regeneration. Now we're going to enjoy that in eternity, but my goodness, we get to enjoy it now. There's no night there. We're born in darkness. If God ever does a work, he opens our eyes. He lets us see light. He lets us see the glorious light of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And he imparts that. He gives that light to us. And he shares with us that in this place where he has put us, in Christ, in the church, in Christ, he's the head, we're the body, where he has put us, he has caused us to see a light. That light is Christ. And there is no darkness. Now in our flesh there's darkness, but in the spirit there's absolute clarity. There's light to be behold. It's the light of Christ. We have His light given to us, as it says there, and there shall be no night there. It will not be darkness. Will not be blinded. But here, in this present age, in this time, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, He has given to the church the ability to see the Lord Jesus, even though through a glass darkly, given them the ability to see Him who they could not see before and in fact did not want to see before. But when He saves them, He opens their eyes and He allows them to see. He takes away all darkness and He is our light. He is the light to see the Old Testament and He's the light to see the New Testament. Outside of Him, we'll not see anything but sacrifices and historical events. But in Christ, we see those beautiful pictures, types, and shadows of His redeeming grace and mercy to the church. That this is what He has done in the Old Testament. He preached the gospel through those types and shadows, and He's preaching the same gospel today. This is the gospel that saved them then. It's the gospel that saved them in the Reformation. It's the gospel that saves us now. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a light-giving gospel. The gospel gives light to His people. An unveiling, an opening up, a view of Christ. He does become all-important. He does become the gospel. He's always been that, but we realize it now. He is the heart and the core. He is the master. He is the king. He is over all. He rules over all. This is the gospel God gives to His church, and it's an understanding about God. All things, as we read over there in 2 Corinthians, when He gives us Himself, when He gives us Christ, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And there is a reality about that, that we have Christ like we've never known Him before. He is the sum and substance. He is not a life. He is our life. He is the life of the church. He is the life of the believer. We feel the pulse of God in Christ Jesus to us every day. He is the life-sustaining one. And without that, we are dead. We're the branches. We're attached to the root. He is. So in Him there is no darkness at all. Now truly, when we are with Him in glory for eternity, there won't be any night. But He does cause us to pass from darkness unto light. Now, that's another term for regeneration. He causes us to see Him like we've never seen Him. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Now I don't understand all about it, just like the blind man said. But that blind man was sought after by the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ confronted him and said, "I am He." And you know what he said? Lord. He said, Lord. All right? He says, there shall be no night there. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. I like that. No darkness at all. There is nothing dark about God. No darkness. No tinge of darkness. Some of this year's summer, the most enjoyable part has been that just the last glow of the evening. Just it's nice and cool. And I think I've seen one mosquito this year. That makes summer pretty decent. But with God, there's not even that glow at the end. It's spectacular light. He is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, in the next part of that verse, it lists two things that we will not take there. Will not take to this city. Will not take to the church. In fact, we don't want to see it now. We don't want a candle. And we don't want the sun. God does not recognize the candle as light nor the sun. Now, I'm talking about two things here. These two things that we do not need, nor do we want to bring. And if one brings them, he knows not Christ. The first is a candle. Now, every candle that has ever been has been made by man. God doesn't want anything made by man in this city. He doesn't want our works. He doesn't want our light, because it's darkness. In him is no darkness. In him is light and no darkness at all. In us, there's no light and all darkness together. He does not want us to bring the candle to this church, to this place, to there. Because that just means that we're bringing works of righteousness which do not save. And God will not have a candle in his new city. He will not have a candle in New Jerusalem. He'll not have a candle in the church. Now, we may use it for light so we can read, but we're talking about spiritual things here. God will not have a candle. It's the works of the flesh. It's the works of man. It is. And God said, through his Son, the Lord Jesus, the flesh profiteth nothing. We'll never profit in the flesh towards God. Now, we have to be in it. God grants us the blessing of having it constrained most of the time. But the flesh is not something we present to God. It is worthless. And anything that we have in the flesh that is man-made, a candle, man-made, a light, man-made. Now, the second thing that we don't want there and God will not accept there is the sun. Now, the sun, if we remember over there in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, the sun was created by God. It is part of the old creation. This is a new creation. We'll not have the sun in the new creation. The scriptures tell us that there will be no sun in heaven. There will be no sun in the church except the S-O-N. Will not have any of the old creation. That's why we have to have a new heart. If we have the old heart, we have the old creation. That's why we don't have the old mind. We need a new mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. We can't bring those things to worship God. They're unacceptable. God will not allow us to worship him with those things. One is man-made, one is the old creation. The sun is, now we depend on it. Don't get me wrong. In this life, we depend on the sun. I've just enjoyed going out there yesterday and today and seeing another tomato just turning redder and redder because of the sunshine and the moisture that I give it. We depend on that. But when it comes to spiritual things, we're not dependent upon the old creation for anything. We're dependent upon the new creation. We're dependent upon the blessings that come from God. We're dependent upon not ourselves, but God's blessings to us. He is our blessing. We're not a blessing to him. He's a blessing to us. We're just, well, I'm going to use that term again, we're worms. And thank God he doesn't stomp us out. We're worms. So we don't want that light that we've created. We don't want that human invention. We don't want that works of the flesh. We don't want that our work of righteousness. We don't want to come to God with anything that we have created, anything that we've brought, anything that we've boiled down, any of our doctrine, any of our liturgy, any of those things. God will not accept. Nor will he accept that which he has created in the old world, the old creation. He'll not bring that. He'll not allow us to bring that to the new creation. Here we have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there is no need of the sun here. We don't need the first creation here. In fact, we'll not get there if we're in the first creation. He said with regard to the new birth, if we don't have it, if we're not born again, we'll not even see the kingdom of God. He's not going to take any of his first creation into the kingdom of God. It is not meat and drink. It is not flesh and blood. It is not physical. The church is not physical. Now, we meet here in a physical place, and we're physical beings, but the church of the living God is spiritual. And we're dependent upon spiritual food. We're dependent upon the Spirit of God. We're dependent upon the Spirit of Christ. We're dependent upon the Spirit of His Word. We're dependent upon Him to give us that food. So these two things we do not need. In fact, God will not accept. There's no need of the Son. Turn with me to back just a little bit, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, and we read these words. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, and it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it." What is it? We're not going to have anything of God's first creation in here. Adam's not going to be present. All of the things of Adam will not be present. In fact, it gives us a long list of those things that will be kept out. Sin will be kept out, first creation. That kind of life will be kept out, first creation. The sun and the moon represent that. God's first creation, great as they are. Now, we may go around and say, this is as great as I can do. Yep, first creation not accepted. You must have the new creation. Must be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Must have a new creation by Almighty God. And then you can sit in this, the church of the living God. Then you can sit in the new Jerusalem. Then you have light given to you, and there's no more darkness. Then you have these spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. But He'll not take the old creation, and He'll not take our works. Don't bring a candle. He's not going to accept it. Even lit, not going to accept it. It's man-made, and anything man-made is not honorable to God. Boy, He just kicks it all down. Our works of righteousness, He will strip us of all our righteousness and give us His righteousness, and we'll never depend on our righteousness again. If He's ever saved us, He will never depend on our works again. Never again. We'll not have it. Okay, He says there in verse 5, there'll be no night there. It's not going to be dark. It's going to be light. It's the light of Christ. It's the light of the gospel. It's the light of the message. It's the light of the glory of God. It's the light of heaven. There shall be no need. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light. Well, that's a statement. The Lord giveth them light. Now, we came into this world darkness. I'm unable to describe that kind of darkness. I'm learning something about it. We'll never know the darkness of our darkness until we've seen the light. We'll never comprehend a bit of darkness that we are in by the fall of Adam and by our own sin until we have seen a little of the light of God, and in Him there is no darkness. This, He gives them this great light. It says He giveth them light. It is Him that is the life giver, and we just might say He giveth them life. Another way of putting it. He giveth them spiritual life. He giveth them the new birth. He gives what is needed. We are dead in trespasses and sin, and the Bible from cover to cover declares that. I just listened to a couple of messages on tape. They're old messages by an older preacher. He's not able to preach now, but he just spent a lot of time on where we are by nature. And you know what? The church says, thank you for bringing that up again. I'm glad I'm not there. Thanks for reminding me. Don't ever lose where we were, where we came from. But I'm not there anymore. He's brought me past that. He's brought me out of that. He's brought me from that. So this, the Lord giveth the light. Now, I'd like to read a few verses that use the same word here in the New Testament that share a little bit about what this is to be the Lord giveth light. Now this means that it's not there by nature. It's not a candle. It's a light that God gives. It's an enlightenment. It's a light God gives. It is different than the sun. It's a light that He gives to our mind. It's a light He gives to our spirit. It's a quickening light. And it's only light that God gives. We can't give it to anybody. Now, we can say we have it, and we can share what we know of it, but we can't give it to anybody. Because this light can only be given by someone who has it. That's what He says there. The Lord giveth light. Giveth them light. Giveth the church light. Giveth the new Jerusalem light. Give the new heavens and the new earth light. I don't understand all I know about the new heavens and the new earth, but it's just like saying I don't understand the new birth either. It's a miracle. It's in the same category. It's God sharing a little bit about what He does, and our feeble minds trying to pick up on it just a little bit, and we're out of our league, but we're just thankful it happens. All right. Would you turn with me back to the book of John? John chapter 1, and we look at this word that is used here, the Lord God giveth light. Now, He's the only one that can. John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, that was the true light. Now, this is about the Lord. Let's back up to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I have to say again, those guys, and God bless them to put together our translation, but they were warped. I was reading in one of the word study books that I have, and it's amazing. Here goes a word, and then he gets down to the last line, and he's got to put his reasoning into the word and says, this is what people get during the millennium. And I thought, you know, you got to go from a bad perspective to come up with that. Why not just stay with what the word was translated from and not put your emphasis on it? Well, anyway, this passage, the word is lighteth. In here, this is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, what this has in it is every man that is enlightened in a spiritual manner is enlightened by Him. There's no light outside of Him. And He does not enlighten everybody. If He enlightened everybody, everybody would recognize Him as the Lord. But He enlightens everyone in a spiritual manner. If they're enlightened, He enlightened them. He did not enlighten every man. I've spoken to a lot of people that have been in church that didn't know the first thing about what God does for people. They walked away from it. He didn't enlighten them. But if they're ever enlightened, and that's what this word is, He enlightens them. He opens up. If there's ever any enlightenment, it's because of God. And not because of study, not because of age, not because of how many years you've been a Christian, it's because of God. He is the enlightener, because He has the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So if every man, every person that is enlightened in a spiritual manner is enlightened by Him. Now, I'm reading a book right now about John Deere tractors. That's what I grew up with. John Deere tractors. I found this book for $1.95 or something like that. Free shipping. I said, I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to read about John Deere tractors, where they came from. You know, those guys in the early 1900s, 1900 through 1915, 1918, when they were working on tractors, God gave them some wisdom. The internal combustion engine. God gave them some wisdom. They didn't come up with that on their own. But learning about the internal combustion engine and learning how to design a tractor that would work or a plow that would work is not going to get anybody to heaven. They may have engineering smarts. They may have some light about some things, but this enlightenment is about spiritual things. The first thing that an enlightened person is going to have is they will know Christ. And they'll know Him as Lord. It won't be this, well, He's just my little co-pilot. He will be Lord. He's the pilot. He is the pilot of our life. If we're not even co-pilots, we're just hanging on to His coattails. So if you have some enlightenment about cooking, or enlightenment about engineering, or enlightenment about this or that or whatever, God's given it to you, but that's not spiritual light. But when He gives His enlightenment, as it says here, He lighteth every, if there ever been any enlightenment at all with a spiritual matter, thank God. Preacher couldn't do that for you, even though he was preaching the truth. Bible class teacher can't do that, even though they're teaching the truth. It is God that enlightens us. And thank God when He does. When He does initially and raises us from the spiritual dead, and then we're going along and hear the Word, reading the Word, someone brings the Word, and says, oh my goodness, what a blessing. Never once when He enlightens us will we brag on what we have done. We'll always be bragging on what He has done. Never once will we go back and say, man, I want the leeks and onions of Egypt. We'll always, I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm heading for Christ. That's what enlightenment does. And those in that city have the light of God given to them. And they're worshiping the Lord with sincerity and in truth. They're enlightened about God's sovereignty. I like what that man had baptized Saul of Tarsus. He's a chosen vessel of mine. Then he went right down there. Boy. Election was the first thing on that man's mind about this man. Is he a chosen of God or isn't he? He is? Okay. Hallelujah. This is fine. I'll go down to visit him now. All right? Enlightened. Every person that is enlightened in a spiritual manner is enlightened by Him. We don't get light anywhere else. No priest can give it. Nobody. No book. But it's God. That's the kind of enlightenment this is. All right, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1, and verse 18. It shares about this light. He will give, He giveth, the Lord God giveth them light. Oh, that's the only way. It's happening all the time. It's happening with the church. He giveth them light. It's happening to the lost. He giveth them light. He opens their eyes, quickens them, raises them from the dead. But it's He that does it. And the examples that the Lord gives us in His own personal ministry about doing things. People that are crippled from their birth couldn't do a thing about it. Doctors couldn't help. He did. He giveth to them. And that's how He is with our spiritual life. He giveth to us. No man taketh. He giveth to us. We thank God for it. God, thank You for giving us life. And thank You for giving us light about You. We can worship You in a little, the simplicity of the gospel. It may be simplicity, but it's at least worshiping Him in the gospel. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. It shares this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's the same word. It's something God does. It's a miracle. You know, there's no electrical wires. We've progressed. Used to go in the old houses, and they had knob and tubing, and it was on the outside of the wall. You saw the wires coming in. My aunt's house, she had probably a 20-watt bulb in her kitchen, 20-watt bulb hanging down from the ceiling in her living room. She never, ever got past the minimum amount to pay. All the wires were suspended, hanging out there. We got sophisticated. We hid the wires. There's a box right down there we could plug in, run the vacuum cleaner, but we hid the wires. But there's still wires there. Disconnect them back there in the box and it's not going to work. But this light doesn't have any wires. This enlightenment comes from God in a supernatural way. And in Him is light, and there is no darkness at all. He has the answers for every question. Now, whether He chooses to reveal them or not, that's up to Him. But He has all the answers. There's no darkness in Him. He knows all things. He knows all things about us. There's no darkness in Him. He is not cubbyholed off. He didn't have wires to Him. He doesn't send wires to us. It's a supernatural way that God regenerates us and gives us light and enlightens us. As it says, the eyes of your understanding. Now, it's not these eyes. It's the eyes of our understanding, our spiritual eyes. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. There's some things God enlightens us about. He's all powerful. It's not just a word that's found in a dictionary. It's not just a word that we read. He's omnipotent. It's something we recognize about Him. Now, people that don't recognize that He is all-powerful just haven't had the power given. They haven't let their eyes open yet. Now, I recognize that a whole bunch of people in the world, God's elect people, are like cats with their eyes closed. Time comes, He'll open them. They're sheep with their eyes closed. But in time, He'll give them sight. But the rest, all the calling, and all the sunlight, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. But they'll never convert a soul. Everybody that saw that rainbow, some of us out there said, man, that's a testimony from the book of Genesis. Whoa, look at that. He's not going to do what He did ever again. And some says, oh, you know, the rain is just right, and the sunlight goes down through it and breaks it into a spectrum, and we got this, oh my goodness, and it's beautiful. And some of us just say, it's light. Chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians and verse 9, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, says here, and to make all see. That word men has been supplied by the translators. To make all see. To make see. That's got blindness. He makes us see. That's what it is. Spiritual sight. To make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent now unto principalities and power in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The purpose of God in redemption. He made the church see. Understand it? Probably not. But to see it, He has redemption. It's His redemption. And He redeems. And He's the real redeemer. And His church sees it. To make them see. To make see. Oh, to create spiritual sight is the business of God. We can declare it. He makes people see. But He is the only one that can make him see. All right, another verse here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. For the Lord God giveth them light. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He hath brought to light. That's this word, same word. He hath brought to light. The rest has been put in. It's in there. It's just part of the. But this word is separated there. Is brought to light. Again, we just every time we find this word, it's so different than this kind of light. It's so different than natural sunlight or natural moonlight. It's not natural. It's not here by nature. It's here because of God. Now we realize the sun is, but it's God's creation, and He has it in His control, and it's natural. But this is not natural. It's not something like the sun. We're not going to get a tan from it. We're going to get life from it, and we're going to get light from it. And it's a light that tells us, as we read here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that we, by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel must be preached. That is essential. And I'm talking about the gospel. I've used this illustration. I like candy corn, but I've never planted any. Why? It's not going to grow. There's no life in it. None whatsoever. If I want to see corn, I'm going to have to plant corn. And if I'm going to see spiritual life and spiritual light, the seed of the gospel, not a gospel, but the gospel, must be planted. That's a gospel that God's in charge of. Gospel that He is over. Gospel that He directs in. It's not up to you, it's up to Him. That's the kind of gospel it is. He's in the business of finding. We're in the business of hiding. He's the business of finding. Finds His lost sheep. Brings them in. And when He finds them and brings them in, they're so thankful. We didn't realize how rough the terrain was. We don't realize how terrible the thunder clouds are and the storm is, and how terrible corn husks are for a meal, until we sit down and enjoy the sweet blessings of the table of the living God, the Lord Jesus. He gives them light. And there's several others. One of them is, after ye were illuminated, did lighten, giveth light, for the Lord God giveth them light. And then it says, the latter part of that verse, I'm just going to read it, Revelation 22 and verse 5, the latter part of that verse, just think of this. He's the King. Just remember this. He's the King. K, capital K, capital I, capital N, capital G. He is the King of kings. Now it says here, there shall be no night there, no darkness at all. It's present right now. The church has that. We're blessed with it. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And we don't bring our own works. We don't bring our candles. And in fact, we don't even bring God's first creation into this. It's all got to be new. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now that guy that gave that translation of that word in the final one, he says this happens during the millennium, he didn't read this verse. Forever and ever is longer than 1,000 years. And that's just a symbolic number anyway. It's the eternal, everlasting reign of Christ. It is the present reign of Christ. It is tomorrow's reign of Christ. It's the eternal reign of Christ. And the church, New Jerusalem, these that are blood bought shall reign with Him forever and ever. They are king priests, as we find in Revelation chapter 1. Let's just flip over there very quickly. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's King of Kings. Now, he's king of all the other kings, the physical, political kings, but he's king of his church. And they're all kings, and they reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. All right.